Hey there, I'm Christine.
And I'm Stephanie.
And welcome to the Incremental Steps podcast.
We're a couple of smart, curious women trying to strike a balance between career, family, and self-care while striving to leave the planet better off than the way we found it.
We're learning that we can't do it alone, like most things. We need each other, all of us. So every couple of weeks, we're going to check in for support in these difficult times and challenge each other to find new ways to leave a lighter footprint.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, Christine. How are you doing?
I am well. I just got finished teaching two online classes, and because I totally forgot, today was part of a holiday weekend here in the States, and so I've just been going for it.
Well, apparently you're not the only one, because if people attended, they must have wanted to catch a little wisdom from Christine over the weekend.
Well, it was some good stuff. It was some juicy stuff. So let's do some I could talk about a little bit of it.
All right. Well, then why don't you start?
All right. I could talk about using interplay tools to process grief and gratitude.
Okay. Let's see. I could talk about getting started in new work and, you know, the kind of mix of fear and excitement that goes with that.
I could talk about my youngest graduating high school since the last time we talked. Woo!
Congratulations. Are you so glad that's over?
Oh, words cannot explain how glad I am that online learning is done at the moment.
But also all of it, just high school.
Yeah, we could talk a lot about that.
Yeah, that could be several episodes. That could be a whole other podcast. Okay. I can talk about, I know I say it every week, but I am flipping out on my garden. I could talk about that.
Let's talk about how my garden is not getting enough sun, and I am having a little shame around my current garden.
Oh, no. You shouldn't have shame.
Just say it. I'm going to name it. That's how shame goes away, as you name it.
All right. I want you to have that then. I want that for you. Okay. I could talk about enjoying a hot tub in times of quasi-quarantine. And I could also talk about quarantine, question mark?
All right. Oh, I love that. I could talk about an article in the Washington Post this week that made me ashamed to be a member of the state. Am I a member of the state? Like, so this is confusing to me because, you know, I'm a Texan by birth and by identity, but I've lived in Georgia now for 12 years.
Your daughter just graduated from high school in Georgia. You're the parent of a child, of a Georgia child. I think that makes you a transplant.
Well, this article, it was bad.
How have you lived here 12 years and this is the first time you're feeling this?
You did hear that I was from Texas originally, right? You do. Like, we know it's grief and gratitude. We hold both in both hands, right? Like, I know
amazing. Proud Texan.
I am a proud Texan, and I don't, most of the time, I do not claim their politics. We've had a few good politicians come out of Texas. And kind of the same thing in Georgia, right? Like, I moved from Texas and I thought, oh, nobody could be as conservative and a little cray-cray as Texas, but Georgia's in the running. And especially now through this pandemic and the response and how things are going, we're a little bit in the running. Yeah.
We're leading the nation in how to respond to the COVID virus. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh my God. Y'all, for our listeners out there, I think we have just, like, we've just fallen off, like, I don't know, fallen off the wagon. It's the thing, we really are not day drinking as we do this podcast. It really is just like, we have to laugh or start wailing. Like, I mean, I think that's the stage of quasi-quarantine that we're in.
I could talk about no longer having to listen to sentiments about COVID. That's project I was doing is finished. I don't have to listen to the cray-cray anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
That's helpful. That feels good.
I could talk about that 90,000 deaths is the equivalent of a 737 airplane crash every single day for 14 months.
Must we? Must we talk about that?
Right?
I could talk about, I'm trying to decide to go high or low. I don't.
No labels here. It's okay. Just be who you are. Where are you?
I could talk about, is it me or is it them? I've got no sense of perspective anymore.
Yeah, I could talk about this awesome article that a new friend on Facebook posted, and I posted it to our Facebook page because it gave, it rated the risk of 14 summer activities, and several of them we talked about on the last podcast, and I was like,
those were geniuses.
Yeah, look at us being ahead of the curve.
That's right. Okay.
So we should dive in and talk.
Yeah, wait, so I could talk about, in all seriousness, the need for advocacy in these times. Mm.
Amen, sister.
Yeah.
You know that's my jam, and we want to talk about that today.
Yeah, mine too. I mean,
You know, I think when you feel hopeless or you feel overwhelmed, we know this, studies show this, like when you take action, when you help somebody else, or you take action for the greater good, it alleviates depression, it alleviates hopelessness, it helps, and it makes an incremental step towards solving the problem, or at least postponing it.
So let's maybe step back a little bit and define an incremental step.
All right.
So, well, it's something that comes, so the idea of incremental steps, that comes from your background, that's
sure, sure. So in Interplay, we play with incremental steps, because what we play with is that, you know, when you think about project management, when you think about, you've got a big party, like, I mean, it could be something as like a birthday party, right? When you think about all the steps that it takes to plan an event, or plan a party, or plan a Zoom meeting or a podcast, right? Usually any decision we make has lots of steps to it. And a lot of times we get overwhelmed or we get stuck because we're not sure where to start, right? So one thing to do is you can like do a brain dump with somebody else or by yourself and throw all those on the page. And then you look for the one incremental step. So like a project, when you say you have one project,
that project usually has
30 steps. And then you take the one incremental step. And sometimes this is difficult. So with my clients, a lot of times what I'll say is, I'll say, where would you start? And get their opinion. And then if they ask where I would start, I may say something different, right? And then you pick the one place where you'd start. And then here's the genius of it. Then you take that step and you break it down even into more incremental steps. Like, so how can you make it easy and accessible? So when we talk about advocacy, right? Advocacy is a huge umbrella, right? So there's so many ways that you can advocate and be an activist and have your voice heard, right? So what's one or two that come up for you?
Well, okay, so let's step back from that for a second and talk about the reason for the need for advocacy right mm-hmm. now. And I really do strongly believe that we are at a crossroads as a country, and that this pandemic has put us at a crossroads that's been coming for a long time, but it has accelerated, I think, the divergent paths.
Mm-hmm.
And I really strongly believe that one of them leads to collapse, and one of them, but we have an opportunity to get off that path and get onto a path that could be
sustainable
and beneficial to everyday working people, all people, not just the richest of the richest people, which
not
is
not just the top 1%
right
yep.
now. Yeah.
Yep.
So, the thing about that is the power that's in the people that are in power now have the money and control and the political will on their side to keep things going exactly the way that they are. Mm-hmm. And the only way that things are going to change, the only way for us to get off this treadmill and onto something, a different path, one that's more beneficial, is if we all act. You cannot sit on the sidelines. You cannot say, mm-hmm. As so many people do, I don't want to get involved in politics. I don't, you know, it doesn't make any difference what I do. I can't really make a difference. I don't have a voice. You know, nobody wants to hear what I have to say. Mm-hmm. And that is a place of hopelessness.
And yeah, that's not, and it's also not true.
Right.
Like, we know, I mean, with the caveat and a little asterisk, we know our democracy is not perfect. We know there are problems, all of that to be said. But voting does make a difference. And collective voices make a difference. And currently, if we look at the numbers, 40% of the people in our country, and I would say less than that, because that was not even a percentage of the people in the country, that was just a percentage of the people that voted in our country, are making decisions that are having huge financial, environmental repercussions for us, and will for years. Yeah.
So, for me, to address that, like the first thing, so you and I put this podcast together because we saw the environment as an issue that we wanted to address. So this is our incremental step in,
yep,
in participating in affecting change in the environment. It's just one thing we do once a week. It's really not that big a chunk of time. I don't know if people can tell that by listening, or if they think there's a lot of time that goes into it. There's really not that much.
Be gentle with us. Be gentle.
Yes, be kind. but you can, the first step, I think, is to choose the issue, because there are a lot of different ways in which people are being impacted right now.
Yep.
And you know, you don't have to take them all on. You don't have to take on education and the environment and,
yeah. And I would actually say you really can't. I mean, I would say there's not enough hours in the day. Like,
right.
You know, so, but I'm also, I have a hard time picking one. So you might want to pick a couple.
Maybe pick some that intersect so that you can maximize your effort. You could be dealing with a couple of things at one time.
You are talking my language now. I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast or not, but all my dear friends know, like, I call it stacking, where I like to stack things. So where things are 3D or multidimensional. So if there's intersectionality and I get to do one thing that has like three benefits.
Like that's why I love the League of Women Voters, because it's women's issues and it's voting issues and it's social justice issues. But it all comes down to, for the most part, voting and voter education. And I can address several of those, you know, issues that are important to me by just being involved in that one organization. So that's another thing too. A first step is to find your people. Find the people that are also interested in that, and how can you guys work best together as a group, because it's a lot easier and a lot more fun and has a lot more impact if you're not sitting alone trying to figure out what to do. There are people who can help you with that.
Well, and I would also say time-wise, like I, you know, we've talked about this before where I try to write my representatives at least once a week. I was doing it once a day for a couple of years and I had to.
For a couple of years? I did it for a year.
It was about a year and a half. I'm pushing the 2-year mark. That was a little bit of an exaggeration, but it was No, but you're right. It was a solid year and I probably started trickling out about a year and a half. But it wasn't sustainable. I mean, that's the other thing we talk about. Like, is it sustainable? But once a week is sustainable. So, like, right before I got on here, I was like, oh, I haven't written my, you know, I was a little distracted with the graduation. So I hadn't written this week. And I was like, I'm going to jump on. Well, I jumped on the Sierra Club And they had an issue that they were writing their representatives about around the environment. And it was, they already had the language, you know, I read the language, mm-hmm. I agreed with the language, I tweaked it to make it personal to myself, and I sent it. And it took me, I don't know, 5 minutes. And yeah. I wrote all three of my representatives in Congress. So
I would challenge everybody who's listening to this to just spend 15 minutes a week. Mm-hmm. Just start with 15 minutes and see how far, what you can get done in 15 minutes. And you'd be surprised if what you're choosing to do is call your elected representatives about an issue, that takes maybe 15 minutes. There are lots of things that you can do that don't have to be time consuming.
Absolutely. I think that's another incremental step though, to check in with yourself. What is the medium that you will do? Like, I know this is going to shock you, but not you because you know me, but I don't like to talk on the phone a lot. Like it's not my jam, but I can shoot off an email or a text mm-hmm. in a heartbeat. And so there are times I pick up the phone and call, like especially if it's a state legislative issue and it's right, you know, they're voting on it within an hour or something. But generally I send an email.
Actually what we've learned in the league is the best thing to do is send a postcard. That is the one that penetrates the wall the best. They count them, they pay attention to them, they keep them.
Okay, thank you for that. Yeah, I like postcards. I've been doing that as a self-care practice during this time, is I've been creating art postcards and sending them to random people. And now it makes me curious with the post office right now. We could talk about that all day, but you know, mail has been a little slower. So
There is that. I mean, I think they count emails too, but I think they don't pay as much attention to email as they do to. And if you use ResistBot or something, then you can send a fax using text capability, and I think they see that also. So
okay, yeah.
So yeah, there are things that can help. Let's talk a bit about the post office.
Sure.
That is kind of an issue that is near and dear to me. So it's really facing a lot of issues right now. So if you don't know, if you're like, I'm willing to be an advocate, but I don't know for what, it's in crisis right now and it needs our help. And it's important for a lot of reasons. For me, it's important because in the state of Georgia, we have voting by mail, and all that is kind of under threat because the Postal Service is understaffed, and we've just given them this massive load of mail to deal with. But it's important. So they get a lot of bad press.
Yep.
They get a lot of pushback that they're inefficient and they keep operating at a loss. But the thing is, a lot of that is because of a congressional law from regulation from 2006 that compels them to pay forward their employees' healthcare benefits. And so that's doubly bad because now with the coronavirus, they're projecting those losses to be somewhere around $22 billion and then like long-term up to $54 billion that they'll be in debt. And it's not because they're working with Amazon. Amazon actually is, they're not allowed to operate at a loss. So they're operating at cost or a little bit above cost, but they're not able to make ends meet because they're having to prepay.
Because they're taking care of their, and also, I mean, they're taking care of their employees.
Well, it's not something any other company would be doing. Mm-hmm. So it's not a normal business practice to prepay medical expenses. That's a weird thing to compel them to do. And
right. You know, so it kind of sets them up for failure.
Right.
I'm hearing you say it sets them up for failure.
Yeah, I mean, that is the consequence, whether it was intended or not, it is setting them up to fail. Right. So that could all be changed. That could just be changed with the stroke of a pen. And
instead of making it privatized, which...
Right, and if you force it to fail, then you just have that many more people who are out of work, which I just... Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense to me. So
doesn't me either. My grandfather, I am just having this memory, which I haven't had in a really long time. My grandfather, my maternal grandfather, who died when I was, I believe I was 13. So I have kind of more of a kid's memory of him than an adult memory. And he worked for the post office. It was one of his last jobs. And I believe he was an accountant. So, you know, I don't know his role. I don't think he was, but I remember having really fond, like, I've always liked the post office. I like our U.S. post office. I like my mail person.
I like being able to pop something in the mail for 55 cents. If we lose the postal service, mail expenses are going to be outrageous.
Yep. Well, when you think about the privatized companies now, you know, which have their place and their service, but they're expensive. You know,
yeah,
they're expensive. And I am grateful too to be able to put a postcard and especially, you know, I know it's not just us, but you know, we live away from our families. We're four states away. Like, the post office is a way I communicate with my family, by sending things. So yeah. And not even when I think about the business aspect, because when I do my books, when I ship out my books, I ship them
U.S. mail?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But great. So, yeah.
Well, and they have flat rate shipping. Like, I just, yeah, it's going to change the entire landscape of how we do business if we mm-hmm. suddenly don't have a post office. I just can't believe that's really going to happen. But
even an option. Well, okay, so here's the thing. This is a good thing about advocacy, right? You have identified an issue that is near and dear to your heart. So what would be one incremental step that you could take that's proactive? What's one thing you could do?
You can definitely call your congressman and encourage them not to to protect the postal service.
Yeah.
So that's the main thing to do right now. They need to hear from people that it's a valued service.
Mm-hmm.
Short of doing that, I think they are kind of moving toward dismantling it. And you can, you could give your postal workers a little love. Just let them know you appreciate them.
It was one of the first places that I went to that was a public place, mask up, you know, social distancing. And I was really grateful. Like, they had put up the plexiglass between you and the postal worker. They had mask on. We had mask on. They had tape where it was 6 feet apart. There was, I would say, 9 out of 10 people were masked. Of course, there's one guy. An older white guy. I mean, that's who I've been noticing are the people that are unmasked recently, but he was unmasked. And then there was this one woman that I had to take some really deep breaths because she told the same story 4 times and she was really upset with her postal worker. And she told the story like 4 times to the same guy. And I... It took everything I had just to not repeat it back to her because I'd heard it 4 times so I could tell the story and say, hey. Yeah,
I'm not sure that would de-escalate the situation
No. And since I was trained as a crisis de-escalator, yeah, I just kept my mouth shut. But it was a little fantasy in my head. And I also just had to take a deep breath and not say to the sweet postal lady, oh, I'm so glad. I can't even imagine being in their shoes right now. Like, I guess that's why I tell that story. Like, yes to giving them extra love because, you know, they are essential workers right now in regard to keeping our systems moving.
That is correct. And, you know, if that's not what appeals to you, if that doesn't speak to you, that's okay. Find something else. Find what does, what speaks to you. What makes you want to throw a yoga brick at the TV when you watch the news? That's a good place to start.
That's awesome. That is awesome, right? Because if something, I mean, a lot of times people are like, I don't know, right? They may not know the positive of it, but you can tap into those feelings of wanting to throw a yoga brick. I love that imagery. And then say, okay, so what's the opposite of that? How can I be proactive? How can I, because here's the reality, folks. You can change things. I mean, it's a collection of voices. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago when our public school system had made a decision that was not safe and had made a lot of people unhappy. And we spoke up and we changed it.
That was, you know, that's not within, I think, 4 months of restarting the League of Women Voters chapter, a law, a city councilman was putting forward a change to an ordinance that would make it easier for people to vote. And we decided to take a position on that with him and, you know, went to the Board of Elections about it. And I had sent a media release about it ahead of time. And a local media, a local reporter got really argumentative with me about the likelihood of it doing anything. Like, why are you bothering with this? This is, you know, crazy. Mm-hmm. There's no way you can do this. And he was wrong. You know, we went there, they listened, they heard our arguments, and they changed their regulations so that things could be a little bit easier for people to vote. So yeah, it's, right? It's most people want to do the right thing.
Right.
If you are willing to do the work of reaching out to them, most of the time they will listen. They may not agree with you, but they will listen.
Well, and especially local, right?
Right.
That's, as you know your neighbors, as you know your, you know, who's up for election, as you know that literally a handful of votes can make a difference on somebody getting elected or not, that establishing those relationships and being kind to people, right? And you may not always get your way, but at least you've made a step towards having your voice heard. And
to be honest, when you do get your way, it feels mm-hmm. pretty great.
It feels
pretty amazing, yeah. Did I help get somebody elected? What just
happened? Happy dance. Yeah.
It's absolutely pretty great. And we've seen it happen on a local level. So,
oh my gosh.
Did you think in 2016 that you would know as many politicians as you now know?
No.
I never did either. I don't think I knew one until the last election. And then I knew all of them.
Right. I knew a couple, but I didn't know their stories, and I didn't, you know, I was so excited. Like, here, I jumped on a virtual graduation for one of my friend's daughters who was in a different high school, right? She was at Brookwood High School, and EJ, our youngest,
school board member.
School board member. He was giving the speech, and I just lit up because, first of all, I've met him, I've talked to him, it just made my heart just smile. Because I mean, I'm a big believer that it all comes down to relationships, and so I was excited, and
it definitely is. It's much easier to have access than I would have guessed.
Oh, especially absolutely.
On a local level. On a local level, they're there. They will.
Absolutely.
Their door is open. Go talk to them.
And you can be their Facebook friends. And I can't tell you how many, I mean, even some of our state politicians that I message on Facebook when an issue comes up, and say thank you. You know, one of the things we have to remember, you know, politicians get a bad rap. I get it. I understand, especially right now in these days and times, right? But at their heart, I would say the majority of them are public servants, and they put up with a lot. So I think it's like with any other relationship, be kind, you know, be kind and treat them as a human being. And when they do something right, like we have a saying in Interplay is never underestimate the body's need for reassurance. Yeah. And I try to live my life that way. So if they do something right, like, woohoo!
That actually came up too when we had at a league meeting, we had a local politician come and speak, and she said, you know, I need to hear when you agree with me as often as I need to hear when you mm-hmm. disagree with me, because mm-hmm. she said, you know, we always get a lot of people letting us know when they disagree. And if we're not also hearing from the people that we think we're doing a good job, then we start to believe the messages we're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And we start to, she was like, so I mm-hmm. need to know. I need to know if you mm-hmm. think that this is a good thing and that we're on the right path, then yeah, I need to hear that too. So that was important for me to hear, because pretty much before that I had been like, I'll reach out to my congressman. You bet I will. But not necessarily to let them know that I thought they did a good job. Although I usually do that, even if it's,
well, here's the other thing, is I try not to make it personal. I try to make it issue-based.
Right.
Like, I try to, and I know this should be, especially for our listeners, it should just be, you know, common knowledge, but state your position on the issue, you know? Now, I will say things like, protect your constituents, please do your job and protect, you know, but I don't say you're doing a horrible job or holy cow, I can't believe you voted that way. I might be thinking it, but usually, you know, say what I would like for them to do. Please do this. And this is how. And I always sign my letters or emails, a concerned voting citizen. I don't know why.
Okay. Add constituent to that.
Okay.
A concerned voting constituent.
Yeah. I've done that one in the past. I think I flipped between those two, but yes.
Well, if you aren't a constituent of theirs, then yeah, just say voter. But if you are an actual constituent, they count that. They want to know that.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, this is good info.
It has changed. I don't know. I've changed so much over the last four years. How far are we into this nightmare? that I now, like, you know, now that I'm, what am I? I'm almost self-employed at this point. Mm-hmm. But really what I want to do is prop those people up. I've met so many dynamic, strong women who want to go in and make change, that's what I want to, help them get there. I want to help them do that. So I think it's, you never know where those little steps are going to lead you to. Like, they open up a whole world of possibility that you might not have even considered. So it's important to step out of your comfort zone just a tiny little bit, just inch out there and see what happens. You'll be surprised, and it'll be in a good way. So anyway, I'll get off my soapbox now, and I guess I should talk about the challenge. So I had a challenge last week to make tooth powder.
I love it.
Do you remember this? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So I resisted this because I had tried it a long time ago, and I think it was a Pinterest recipe, and you know how those Pinterest recipes tend to be. It was overly complicated, and it had activated charcoal in it. So when you brushed your teeth, it was just like you were just drooling this sort of gray, nasty. I mean, it's just
had messed with it too, right?
Yeah. So me being me. Okay. So the basic recipe is equal parts xylitol and baking soda. So that's pretty easy. It's pretty easy to get xylitol.
What is xylitol?
It's the one I have says it's from birch bark. So it's a sugar too. It looks like sugar. Important note, it is a big no-no for dogs. So do not have it on your dog. It will kill it. So do not do that.
What about cats?
I don't know, but cats, I don't think, would want xylitol anyway. If you have a cat that has a sweet tooth, I'd be interested to hear that. So equal parts, you just mix it up. So I took, because I also know that yarrow tincture can be a dentrifice. You can brush your teeth with it, and I've tried that too, and a tincture is alcohol-based, so it's just a weird experience when I've tried it, to put an alcohol tincture on a toothbrush and then try to brush your teeth with it. It just doesn't feel, it feels like you're brushing your teeth with nothing, which is just a strange experience to me. And I also thought peppermint essential oil, just a little bit, would be a nice addition to.
I need some clarity here. Is this the new messing with it or the old messing with it?
This is new messing with it.
Okay.
So I made one batch. I made a half cup of each, the xylitol and the baking soda.
Okay.
And then I broke it into four equal little groups. So one is a control, one is just the xylitol and baking soda. I know you know I'm the kind of herbalist that is more of a mad scientist than like a gardener.
I love it.
Okay, so
go ahead.
I have one that has a little bit of peppermint essential oil in it. And again, I am very, very, very conservative with essential oil. I think it has its place occasionally. And this is one of those times. But I do not encourage people to go crazy with the essential oils. They are difficult to acquire and very, very, very potent. So, pump the brakes a little bit there. But and then I had one that had a yarrow tincture added to it, and then I had the fourth one had all of it, just like screw it all in there to see what happens.
All right.
So I did all that to I did it today, so I haven't had a lot of experience messing with it.
So did you brush your teeth 4 times before the show today?
No, I did not. I am not trying to destroy my gums, but I tried the base one, just the regular one. Mm-hmm. It's actually pretty pleasant. My grandfather used to brush his teeth with baking soda. Do you remember that when people
I do? Yeah, that? My nanny would. Yeah.
So yeah. I've done that. I've done the just baking mm-hmm. soda thing, and it's gross. I don't like it. It's really salty and nasty. I'm not a fan. But this was much better. Like having it be half of the xylitol it made a big difference. It's a
okay.
much more pleasant experience than doing it without that. And definitely better than whatever the Prince's recipe was I had that had activated charcoal in it and looked grisly.
Right.
So right. I'm kind of on board with this. I kind of like okay. the idea. And I'll try the rest of them over the next week, and I'll give a report back on which one I like best overall.
So how does it break down to cost?
Cost?
You know, that's one of the things we've talked about some of these things are expensive, or there's more of a footprint because of all the different boxes you're doing. But how does this one break down? Because it sounds like it's very accessible and would be really inexpensive.
Okay, so it's super inexpensive for me because I already had everything. Well, I mean, yeah, it was an easy thing for me to just go in and grab the
love
stuff.
It.
So,
okay.
I don't remember how much xylitol costs when you buy it. This is one of those things where I was on some diet, and instead of just saying don't have sugar, they were like, try this sweetener and also the monk fruit, blah, 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 and whatever. So for some reason, I had a little bag okay. of xylitol. I knew I had it.
Okay.
I'm going to say it's probably like $4 or $5.
Okay, I'm looking it up right while we keep talking. Keep talking.
Peppermint. A lot of people already have peppermint essential oil. Okay. I would say that's a want, not a need. I don't think, you know, it's not required.
Right.
So if you have it and it's convenient, fine.
If you need some mint, let us know, because that stuff is prolific and we could always dig it up and share a little. Just a little side note, a little left turn real quick. but I was doing some social distancing in a backyard yesterday. It was like really park-like and we were about 8 feet apart. And I forgot to bring bug spray. And my friend's mother said, oh, just go grab some of that mint. And mint. And it totally worked. I only got like one mosquito, and there was a lot more mosquitoes than that. And
that's really true, actually, of pretty much any aromatic herb. Almost anything. Bugs don't like them, generally. So yeah, you could take probably that or lemon balm or anything. If you're just sitting around and it's there, you can always do that.
Well, I was just thinking how delightful, because mint, you know, is one of those things that's hard to kill. And I know that because, you know, I'm really good at testing those things. And my mint has survived. And
yeah, mint's a weed, man. It likes to live.
All right, so back to your project and your challenge.
So the other thing in the Euro t-shirt is you'd have to buy it. I mean, I made it, but right. I don't – hit me up if you want some Euro t-shirt. I will.
All right.
I'll hook
you
up.
So given a little update on the xylitol, for 1 pound of it, it's $7. I don't know if it comes
– That's not much.
Actually, it's $8. But I don't know if it comes in smaller doses than that. That was just my very quick Google search. So,
a pound, it would take a long time, I think.
I was just saying, that's a lot of, like, if you mix that and baking soda, like, you would probably have toothpaste for a year.
I would guess so. Yeah. I don't know what a pound looks like. I'll have to see what how much I had.
What are the ratios?
It's even.
Oh. Well, that makes it simple, too.
Yeah,
I like these simple projects.
Right?
And I also like the idea of when I run out of something. I like this project for a couple of reasons. Because, like, you know, plastics come with the toothpaste that, like, what do you do? And
also, like, what's in toothpaste? I don't know.
Right?
Do you really want the fluoride, even?
Right? And, well, that's a whole nother. Yeah, I grew up on well water, so we can get off on that a whole nother time. But I just think... Yeah, it's okay. All right, I'm gonna have to try this one.
yeah, you should. Yeah, it's okay. I've come on over. I'll give you some xylitol.
All right, cool. I'll bring my mask. We can bring my mask.
We can make it happen.
Right.
Yeah. So that was, I actually really do love when it's a simple solution and it doesn't have a layer of complexity, because I like to add the layer of complexity to it.
Right.
That's on my terms. So, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so I think it's doable. I think I'm gonna see how it goes, and like I said, I'll let you know which one works best.
Okay, I love it. I love it. It's good. It was a good check-in on your challenge.
Yeah.
I did not do a challenge this week because my challenge was getting my daughter all these virtual banquets and graduation and ceremonies, and there was no time for anything.
Yeah,
it was a crazy week. I will have to give, you know, a lot of grief around this subject because of letting go of expectations, right? I think that's a lot of around this pandemic, is letting go of the way we thought things should be or would be, or, you know.
Yeah.
And different losses of, but the gratitude, I have to say, that goes with our podcast and environmental sustainability, didn't have to fight traffic at Infinite Energy Center for an hour after that ceremony. Like, all I had to do was click off and say, woo-woo!
Yeah, you can mute the politicians, too, if you don't want to hear what they're saying.
Yeah, you know, there's one I've heard for years that I was okay to turn it down.
We're not going to talk about that right now.
No, we're going to stay positive. So, yeah, like it was interesting. Very, very interesting.
Well, congratulations. You have graduated two children from high school. Your work is done. You don't have to be parent anymore.
Right? I love it. Well, what I've been saying is that the daily parenting duties are done because my contracts with the schools are done, right? I mean, yes, there's college, there's other things, but they are now 18. They are now legal adults. I know parenting is still going to happen. Probably, I mean, my mother still parents me, you know,
so right.
I turned 50 this year, but, it is a big milestone. It's a big milestone. It's a big transition, especially, you know, I was a working mom and also a very active volunteer. And so, you know, 13 years, because we moved here. So 13 years with this public school system. And
yeah, you really hung in there with the volunteering too. Like I hit a point where I was like, I'm sorry guys, you're on your own for high school.
Well, you know, this is talking about incremental steps. Like I did way more when they were in elementary school, but when they hit middle school and then when they hit high school, I picked one thing that I committed to. So like for middle school, it was the PTA Reflections Committee, because that's their art. So, you know, that was, again, the intersectionality of things I loved, like art and being part of my kids' life. And then when high school, I served on the Duluth String Orchestra Alliance Board, on the orchestra board, the intersectionality of the orchestra and the music and leadership and really affecting change. I mean, because that's one of the things about getting involved is if you're at the table and you look around and see who else needs to be at the table in leadership positions, you can really affect change. Like you can affect how some decisions are made. And so I think that's important. I think that's an important thing, is to see what group is not represented that needs to be represented. I think it's
part
of our work.
I think that's a great thing to take on if that's your thing to take on. I think I hit a point where I was like, I don't think I can be a productive
participant. Oh, it's not easy. Not easy. I'm going to tell you, especially with big systems like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when we end the year with online virtual banquets that get Zoom bumped. But that's a whole nother.
There was a Zoom bump?
Is that
the same thing as being, is that where somebody just pops in and is it appropriate?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wasn't in charge, though. So, just going to state
that
caveat.
That's right. You were there. Not your fault. Not your problem to fix.
Oh, it was,
you know, we have to laugh or we would cry. And everybody's just doing, you know, I try to give people a lot of grace because everybody is doing the best they can right now.
Yeah.
And if they knew better and could do better, I would want to believe that they would. But, you know, it's, whoo, man, it's a lot right now.
I mean, you can't, I don't know, you can't TP the high school. You've got to have some kind of a virtual prank to, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that would be completely tone deaf to TP the high school right now.
Yeah, I guess that would be. What an extravagant use of toilet paper.
Right? What is happening here?
Oh, wait, what's happening here?
Oh, yeah.
On that note,
did you before we scooch away from that, did you do anything like that when you were a senior? Did you do anything wild and crazy?
Prank? No. I skipped class all the time. Okay. And dropped out and didn't really, I'm not dropped out, but like I graduated, but I was the person scowling in the back of the classroom. I was not the one pulling the pranks. And the ones pulling the pranks at my high school, I flew under the radar. I was a preacher's kid. I had to fly mm-hmm. under the radar, and I did a great yeah. job of it. I had a lot of fun, and I got away with a lot, and no one ever knew.
Until now. All right. We won't make you confess all. I was a teacher's kid, and both my parents were public school teachers in the same district I was in, and it was a small district. So, yeah.
Were under scrutiny, too.
Whew. Lordy. Yeah. Yeah. They knew about my grades before I did sometimes. So
Yeah.
So pranks and stuff were not my, you know, it was not my gig, but I'm just always curious about stuff like that. No. My car did catch on fire. It wasn't a prank. It was,
Why does that not surprise me?
Right? I drove a muscle car. My first car, and I shouldn't admit this on an environmental podcast, but my first car was a 1968 V8 Chevy Nova. That was my grandmother's car that got passed down to me. And so I had
Your
lot of
grandmother
friends.
Grandmother had a muscle car?
Right? I had a lot of friends that were boys because they wanted to see my car and the engine.
That sounds like a euphemism. A lot of boys trying to look under my hood.
Then one had to put my fire out when it was on fire. Actually, that was my best friend, Wendy, because we were both there early for cross country practice, and she saw the smoke and ran out with the smoke extinguisher.
Wow, that was
it was
that's
high
a
drama.
Good friend to have in the clutch.
Right, it was good. So, yeah. All right. Sorry. That was a totally
No,
left
that
turn.
Was a delightful little turn. It's fine. Things went sideways at my high school a lot. It just, there were too many, there was too much beach and too many rich kids. So.
Oh, that's right. Because you were Corpus Christi, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was like spring break all the time.
Yeah, sort of. It was, yeah. If you wanted to graduate, but yeah, it called to you all the time.
Right.
Do you really want to go to fourth period geometry, or do you want to go to the beach?
Right, because sure I was close to Dallas-Fort Worth, and so Corpus Christi was our escape place. Like, if you were going to go on spring break, or, like, I can't even imagine. Yeah. Well, I'm impressed that you graduated. Good job, my friend.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, it was quite an achievement. And I haven't been back since.
I mean, we think about it. That's one of those things we take for granted with kids, right? And we shouldn't take for granted. I mean, even this time shows us. Like, it is, systems can fail. And we can lose access to things. I mean, I think about just two generations ago, my grandpa and my nanny and my papa, my papa had a third grade education and my nanny had a sixth grade education. Because of the Great Depression, they had to come home and work on the family farm to feed the family. And so I think that's one of the reasons education is so highly valued in my family, because we had the opposite end. But it is something, you know, I think about during these times.
Yeah, no, same. I'm in a tiny rural Louisiana town. My grandfather somehow managed to get out of high school and get a scholarship to a Louisiana college and played football. And I don't think there are many people in rural Louisiana that can say that they're like a third generation college graduate. So yeah, it's
that's impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, he can't take that for granted. And it is because he came from a family that had some measure of privilege, you know, like mm-hmm. it's relative when you're out there in the Piney Woods. But yeah, his dad was the sort of ran the town. And yeah, yeah, it's important and it's hard. And I'm finding with two kids in college that it's still a struggle. So yeah, it's
right.
Yeah. That's definitely a cause you can take up if you choose to pursue education as a cause. That's a good one too.
Right. There's so many. Just pick one. Yeah. Pick one. And you can rotate, honestly. Like there are people out there that do the in-depth research. You don't have to be an expert at it. You need to check your sources and make sure you have a reputable source for your research. Like, you know, League of Women Voters, we know they're reputable. They have 100 years of reputation behind them. I'm a member of the Sierra Club and I get a lot of my environmental stuff from them. So like check in.
The NAACP, there are all absolutely. Kinds of great organizations that will be happy to have, any amount of your time and energy.
And on that note, I do want to say, if you are in a position of privilege, I think, you know, one of my jobs is as a racial justice educator. And I think that is a cause that all of us need to be standing up for alongside of whatever other cause. And even if it's just in our daily interactions, speaking up against injustice or things that we think are wrong. And especially white people. Like we are in a position to do that in a way that other people aren't. So
that's an intense commitment. If you can commit to just not letting comments go unchallenged, mm-hmm. that's a mm-hmm. major incremental step to take. And if we all did it,
yeah. I'm teaching a class. I'm starting a class in 2 weeks that's called Waking Up White, and I've taught it a couple of times. But it is a way to help people be able to talk about racism and be mm-hmm. able to do it in incremental steps. And feel comfortable, because so much of it is, it's not that people don't want to say things, they just don't know how, or they don't know when, and they don't, you know, and it's just messy. And so figuring out how to do that and do it in incremental steps and do it in a way that is healthy for everybody. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Start by listening. Start by Absolutely. Listening without judgment. Just listen. Maybe don't comment. Maybe just... Yep.
No, when I was saying comment is like when you need to stand up for somebody or, but yeah.
I'm just saying when you take those steps in there, take them with reverence, take them with gratitude and, you know, be willing to hear the other side of what you've grown up with without feeling a need to apologize or to justify it or anything, just take it in. That's hard.
Absolutely. And especially without the need to center yourself. So that's, absolutely. You, an hour has gone by so quickly today. We had a lot to talk about.
We had a lot of preaching to do.
Well, it feels like we've been on a little bit of a soapbox today, but hopefully people hung out with us.
Yeah, I hope so.
I brought a poem to share today. Did you have anything else you wanted to say before we close
I'd love to hear your poem.
So this poem really resonated with me today. When I think about advocating and I think about the work and I think about the pandemic and I think about, cause it's entitled Uphill.
Okay.
And so when I read it, it was just a good reminder that, yes to taking up all this stuff, and it's okay to rest along the way. It is okay to rest and we can set it down. Just remember to pick it back up. Right. So this is a poem called Uphill by Christina Rossetti. Does the road wind uphill all the way? Yes, to the very end. Will the day's journey take the whole long day? From morn to night, my friend. But is there for the night a resting place? A roof for when the slow dark hours begin? May not the darkness hide it from my face? You cannot miss that inn. Shall I meet other wayfarers at night,
those who have gone before? Then must I knock or call when just in sight? They will not keep you standing at that door. Shall I find comfort, travel sore and weak? Of labor you shall find the sum. Will there be beds for me and all who seek? Yes, beds for all who come.
Oh, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah. Uphill by Christina Rossetti. She was 1830 to 1894.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was she a suffragette?
I don't know. I should look that up. I didn't have it. I just ran across this. It was actually under graduation poems. And it really resonated with me what I knew what we were going to be talking about today. And so cool. So, yeah.
All right.
I have enjoyed this tremendously, my friend. I hope our listeners have too. What's our challenge for next week? We forgot to state that before we read that closing poem.
The challenge for next week is probably to, why don't we try to look at what we are doing in the world and see if we can add another 15 minutes to it.
All right. Okay. I'm in.
All right.
I look forward to it. All right, okay. My friend. Talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Woman feels her power when her voice is being heard. A woman feels her power when her voice.
This has been the Incremental Steps podcast. Our theme music is A Woman Feels Her Power. Big thanks to Karen Drucker for letting us use it. Visit incrementalstepspodcast.com for all kinds of great information. We would love to hear from you.